Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? What? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clifford and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here like poking the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring. Take the over. He who had injury, he who had.
King Derek the Fifth.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They have two as brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Yeah.
This song, I really dislike.
Hans. Trevor's on fire right now. You got to be a trendsetter. 14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
I did a six-team NHL parlay last night and hit 5 out of 6. Of course.
Get your money back?
No, because the odds. Something. I don't know. There's that little tricky part about that.
Sure.
Boy, I hope you didn't do any parlays on the Bills Patriots. Oh, the Patriots threw the ball 3 times and won. If you're the Bills, are you okay? If we're not going to talk long on the NFL here, I apologize, but we haven't talked Arizona Bears, by the way, you and I.
We haven't broken it down, no.
Congrats. We beat you.
Thank you very much.
Do you think that's the game that's the end for Nagy? I don't mean he's going to be fired this week, but do you think that's the game where they're like, okay, Arizona comes in, a team in the desert, it's raining, it's cold, it's like the perfect recipe to beat Arizona. And then Dalton, you know, throws the picks. Now, Arizona's got a really good defense. And Vance Joseph has done an unbelievable... I am eating crow on him left and right every week from when he first started there. But do you think that... I say that. It's been done for a long time.
I was
going to
say, they got beat by the Ravens without Lamar Jackson.
Good call.
But it does take away any kind of fake rally that might convince...
Right.
Not convincing any rational Bears fans out there, but anyone in the front office that, hey, maybe they're going in the right direction. No, they utterly stink.
Yep.
And they get Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers coming up next. So
boy.
I'm sure he's going to help the cause of throwing one more L on the fire.
And can I say one other thing? And this is about Justin Fields. He looks horrible in a baseball cap. Can I just throw that out there? Now, he wasn't in a baseball cap this weekend. He had a hoodie on. Because it was cold. But have you ever seen him wearing a baseball cap? It just, there's not many dudes that can't pull off a baseball hat. He is one of them.
Hmm.
I would hate to be the guy.
No wonder he dropped in the first round.
That's exactly right. Because if he ever ended up as a backup, that's all those guys do. They just wear baseball caps. So he would not be good on your sideline like that. Hmm. All right, that's
Mitch Trubisky looks good in a baseball
he does.
Cap. A lot better than a helmet. And a football in his hands, I'll tell you that.
Trubisky is the perfect backup quarterback for the rest of his career. I mean, honestly, you could do worse than Mitch Trubisky as your backup, right? You just needed him for a game. All right, go out. Don't be an idiot. He'd be okay, but, well, maybe not. Maybe I'm saying something.
You could do worse.
You could do worse. All right, here's who's not doing bad. That was a horrible weak attempt at changing subjects, but... It is what it is. I'm not as good as Pipes when it comes to that. But how about Io DeSumo? Last night, out of nowhere, an hour before the game, I don't know, what's going on with the Bulls? They just have are they having COVID issues?
They are.
Oh,
yep.
Okay. So an hour before the game, Billy Donovan goes up to Io and says, hey, not only are you starting, but you're going to play huge minutes today or tonight. And then Donovan said after the game that Io was not fazed at all. He's like, all right, here we go. And you and I just touched on that at the start of the show that in Io's mind, he's probably sitting there going, what's about time? But this is a kid that is built for this, Derek. He is absolutely built for this. Now, it's easy to say that now that he's 20-some games into his NBA career with the Bulls and he's having a huge effect on that team in a positive way. including last night where he had 11 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds in 42 minutes in a win over Denver. Chicago is kind of the surprise team of the NBA. How much do you think you can contribute that to Io?
I got a stat for you. I'm glad you asked. I'm pulling this from Joe Cowley from the Sun-Times.
We did not talk about this.
We didn't.
Okay.
Since November 1st, games in which Io DeSumo has played at least 18 minutes, the Bulls have a ridiculous 10-1 record.
Oh, my goodness!
In games that he's played less than 18 minutes, they're 2-6.
Unbelievable. Is that unbelievable?
The Io factor.
Dude, he looks confident. You said it earlier. He looks really athletic. Not that he wasn't here, but he looks more athletic. He is so confident with the basketball in the fast break, which we love, and less. If you would have told, sometimes I say less. Like, I'm trying to say listen, but I always give the less.
Less.
So, if you would have told me, all right, in the NBA, the one thing he's going to do really well is on the break, I'd be like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But, so that's probably dumb of me to say he looks great in the break, but, I mean, everything he's doing is confident, including his shooting, where he's shooting over 40% from the three-point line.
He is, yeah, over 41% from three.
Wow.
Near 50% from the field in general, playing more than 17 minutes per game for a guy. To his credit, look, I mean, sorry, Io, and I think anybody, even those around the Big Ten that maybe, I don't want to say they doubted him, but were on the other side of wondering, you know, what he was ultimately going to do.
He's an All-American.
He was an All-American.
Right? I'm not yelling at you, but it's just like, what?
I know.
What else do you need to see?
Very likable. We wondered about G League for him. Well. I think you're going to not necessarily wonder about that too much longer. Or we haven't been here recently.
Nope.
This guy's here to stay. And there's been a talk of, you know, maybe they need to move Coby White, who was their former first-round pick a couple years ago, who hasn't really taken some steps forward, hasn't been healthy here of late. Io is, and just like reading and hearing some of the things that Billy Donovan continues to say about him, and this isn't anything new. He absolutely has fallen in love with him. He's got the respect of his teammates. Like Lonzo Ball had one last night. He's like, he's just got that swagger about him.
That's awesome.
It's confidence. It's a guy that just works his butt off, an insane competitor, and he's a winner.
I love it. Well, last night, we have some postgame, and I'm not sure what this is from. It might be NBC Chicago. Would be probably a safe bet to make sure we're crediting them. But one of our interns here, Noah Cowell, who's awesome. He helped us all year at Pia's during the football season. Noah's just one of those guys that puts his nose to the grindstone and gets it done, whatever you need done. So he is a young man, actually from Birmingham, Alabama. Both of his parents went to college here at Illinois. We've talked to Noah on the air before, but he put together three sound bites from Io, including about Io finding out that he's making his first ever career NBA start.
And the starter, seeing my name there, it was exciting. It brought back just, you know, memories from, you know, my first game starting in college. And it was just like a feeling that it's hard to explain. It was a feeling of joy, of excitement. And I just wanted to seize my opportunity. The mindset I had coming into the season helped me prepare for, you know, nights like this when it is my time to play. So I've been in very good condition. I feel good out there. After like the first 6 minutes, you know, I let the game always come to me. I got my legs under me, and then I start to, you know, do what I love to do.
I'm not going to lie to you. There's times where after 4 or 5 years, an athlete moves on, and then you hear their voice, and they're like, yeah, I don't. I miss Io. I miss hearing
him. I miss Io.
I know you do. He was really good, wasn't he?
He was awesome. He was the media's dream. I mean, obviously, from the standpoint of talking to him, breaking down the game, and just the way that he interacted with us. But, I mean, obviously watching him play day in and day out. And I missed Io and Luka Garza last night. There I said it. I missed Luka. The rivalry, I mean, obviously there's still some tension there.
I understand. You know,
between Illinois and Iowa. But some of those those main characters being gone, it wasn't quite the same.
By the way, Tim Sinclair, the great PA announcer here at Illinois with the Colts. He does the Bears. Does he still do the Pacers? I mean, is there a team in the Midwest
the
that he
and
doesn't
then
do?
Went to the Bulls.
Oh, then now the Bulls. That's true. Does he still do the Pacers? Well, no, Lon, because he does the Bulls.
Illinois still.
Illinois.
On occasion when he's not doing Bulls games. He did the NBA All-Star game.
The Fire, right? Tim is everywhere. Muhammad, Illinois. And he's such a star at this. And last night, if I was if I was better than what I was, I would have already had that queued up to listen to him announcing Io's name into the starting lineup. That's my bad, but you can find that on Twitter with Tim's Twitter account. But certainly, you mentioned that they said from Morgan Park instead of Illinois.
Yeah, they mentioned from Chicago. I think they said Morgan Park.
Oh.
Which I know Illinois fans are like,
I know.
Come on, Io.
I know.
And we were talking off the air because the one that comes to mind for me and is the Simeon Rice.
Yes.
It's like School of Hard Knocks.
Yes.
Like, oh, okay.
It's like, come on, Simeon.
But this isn't knocking Illinois. I mean,
no.
You're playing from the Chicago Bulls, the hometown guy. And there, in this article from the Sun-Times, he mentions that being Io, referencing Derrick Rose, a guy that he certainly looked up to. Was announced from Chicago the same way and kind of following in those footsteps. You can't knock Io. I mean, everybody knows he's from Illinois.
I'm not going to knock him. Here's more with Io about being prepared to just play.
Yeah, I feel good. Just my mindset, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. The reality of it is, you know, coming into the season that unfortunately is going to be times where someone is going to be either injured or with the COVID be out due to like protocol or something. So, you just always want to be ready, but the hard thing mentally is not knowing when it's going to happen. You know, it's 82 games. You never know when your opportunity is going to be called upon. When someone is as great as DeMar, so what he's been doing this season, just coming off the Eastern Conference Player of the Week, you know, when he isn't playing, just it's the nature of the other team to just, you know, show like a sign of like, you know, we got a better chance of winning. And everyone in the locker room is professionals. Everyone in the locker room gets paid to do what they love. So it's just the next man up. And me being this opportunity, I just wanted to seize it. You know, I want to come out and get a win. I knew that the NBA, it's any given night, anybody can be beat. And we just want to, you know, get a win and play hard.
There you go. That is Io DeSumo talking about his chance and being ready. 11 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. But what's more, is that more impressive or is 42 minutes more impressive to you?
I think the balance of making an impact and scoring, rebounding, and assists, that whole combined, I think, shows the well-roundedness in his game. But, yeah, I mean, 42 minutes is really impressive as well.
A lot of minutes, isn't it?
For a rookie.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, in the NBA, he talks about that you're not going to go out, you're not going to be out there very long if you can't play defense. I mean, that is absolute, probably number one. I mean, Brad Underwood would tell you that here at Illinois. Coaches everywhere, high school, junior high, NBA. I mean, you better be able to play defense or you better be able to score 50 a game. And Io obviously is doing that, and he chatted about his defense.
My offense, that can go up and down. That can fluctuate. You can go hit 5 threes one day, you know. But defense is something you can bring each and every day, no matter how your offense is going. Defense, energy, effort, that's something that can always be with you. So I was pretty excited about my defense, you know, getting locked into that because that's what I pride myself on, being a two-way player. And being able to show it here against a good team, great players, it was fun.
All right, that is Io. And what a night. Bulls win again. Are they 18-8? I'm going to make you look up standings. It's tremendous what he's doing. I'm loving every second of it.
Seeing 17-8.
Okay, 17. I must have seen that. I was thinking I had seen that before the game, thinking that the win would have gotten him to 18. But
tied with the Brooklyn Nets for the best standing.
They have the best record in the East?
For the best standing in the East.
Who's the best record in the NBA?
That would be the Warriors.
Okay.
Warriors and Suns are both 20-4.
Oh, wow. The Warriors are back.
Steph Curry, man.
Is Klay playing?
No, not yet.
Is he supposed to this year?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Steph is, didn't he? So I saw something today that he is close to breaking a record, a three-point record or something, and said he could hit 16 in a game or 13 in a game to get the record. I don't know. It was on ESPN. I don't know. I should have read it. That's professional. That's who I am. But, wow, Chicago with the best record, tied for the best record with Brooklyn, who now all of a sudden is showing out. Last year they were kind of disappointing. Wow, that's incredible what's happening with Io. And you know what? I've said this. His parents are awesome.
Yeah.
Never missed a game.
Nope.
You know that. You know them. They never missed a college game. And the idea that, and I'm sure part of the reason, now that you kind of know the dynamic behind that family, I mean, his sisters are everywhere. I mean, they love basketball and they love Io. I'm sure that helped a little bit with getting him to Illinois. But certainly, they took advantage of that. going to every game, see, you know, never missing a game, basically. COVID really tore him up, I'm sure, not being able to be there until the end. But now, then, to know that he's in the NBA and for 41 games a year, your drive is, you know, 2 hours less than what it was to come watch him in college. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. I mean, I can only imagine what it would be like to raise him in Chicago, and you'd have to think about if things were to come together, and that would be a dream for him to play at the United Center and all of that. But they're a very passionate, tight-knit family. I mean, Illinois, I don't need to tell those of you out there, we all know what his support system looks like. And, I mean, he sounds like a pro when you're talking. You listen to him talk there in the postgame. He sounded like that his entire time at Illinois, because he's prepared for this. He dedicates himself to the nth degree in terms of getting ready for this moment. It's just great to see him get to live this thing out. And while I think there would be sometimes you'd wonder about a guy playing in his hometown and having a bunch of people around him that he knows, and he's just too laser focused to let anything get in his way. And he's using that as an opportunity where he's got a great support, and he hears ILLINI, at the United Center and all that. By the way, I'm going to see him next week.
You're going to see the Bulls?
I need to tell you and Trevor. This is the first I'm telling you.
Are you going to get a press pass and talk to him?
I should.
You definitely should. I mean, or maybe you just want to go enjoy a game.
I mean, I could do both.
Not really. You know what I'm saying?
Not post-game.
That's what I mean.
Sometimes do pre-game
interview. Now, that would be okay.
We'll have to see.
Because you got to go down to the Billy Goat.
Yep.
Have a couple.
Yep.
And then, you know, I mean, who's going to go to an NBA game not have a $16 beer?
Sure.
Right? I mean, so.
Because I turn 31 next Monday, drink.
Oh, nice. You'll be 20 years younger than me.
And then Tuesday, Bulls, Pistons. My wife got me tickets.
Oh, wow. Well, then you're not getting a press pass for that one. Yeah, and a baby boy on the way.
I know.
Oh, that's awesome. No, but I'm telling you, I'm going to make you go cover
a Bulls
game because I want to hear from Io.
Willingly.
I would love if you could get 5 minutes with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Where it could be just you for 5 minutes and not somebody else from Chicago jumping in or whatever.
Like, oh, you again.
Yeah, no, exactly. You'd be like, oh, crap. Hey, let's see how good Trevor Valise is. Now, he's going to join you next segment because I'm getting out of here to go watch junior varsity and a varsity basketball game. Trevor, are you there? Is Trevor there? Trevor? This is dangerous. The light is on. Let's see this. Trevor, are you there? Trevor Valise? Okay, we're going to make contact with Trevor, I promise, after this to make sure all is good. Trevor is not in location, so he's going to join Derek. You guys are going to wrap things up, probably talk, I assume, some more about Illinois getting it done against Iowa. But I'm going to sneak out, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Maybe get Cody Westerlund on tomorrow, who covers the Bulls.
Great.
That'd be great to get him and hear what he has to say. We had him on before the season. And, you know, asking him expectations about Io, and certainly, you know, he wasn't sitting there going, well, he's probably going to start by game 24 and play 42 minutes. I promise you he wasn't saying that. So hopefully we'll get Cody on and talk a little bit about that.
Quick Andrew Tay update real quick.
Yeah.
Junior varsity, what are you expecting tonight?
It's so weird because I don't know these other teams.
Yeah.
It's Oakwood. I'm not sure. He did score 9. At Bishop McNamara Saturday. So
nice.
He hit a couple threes.
There you go.
He needs to rebound, especially offensively. I'm like, do you want to score points? The easiest way to do that is to be Kelly Trapuka and just clean up offensive rebounds. I mean, go get them. Quit being this bashful kid. It's so funny. He's so young. I mean, and I know the rest of them are, but he looks like my baby out there. And he's tall. He's taller than me now, and he's thin. He's lifting, but it's not, you know, it's going to take a while. But, he's playing. He's handling the ball well. He dribbles with both hands. He's doing a good job there. He's playing. The funniest part about it is he's been a guard his whole life. Now he's one of the taller kids, and he has to guard the post.
Mm.
And he's doing pretty well.
Nice.
And I told him that. I said, actually, you're my critique of you is not on defense. You're doing well on defense, but I want to see him get a little more aggressive.
Sure.
Is that fair?
That'll come for like, a freshman in high school.
Like he needs to score 30 tonight. That's what I mean. No, I'm kidding. I'm not. Maybe double figures tonight. That'd be cool. Of course, he could get shut out as well. He got shut out. No, he scored 4 in his first game against St. Teresa. They had a really good. They play all juniors. I'm like, well, you're going to learn pretty quick here. that there's a big difference between a freshman and a junior in high school, even a freshman and a sophomore, to be honest with you. But yeah, but I appreciate that. He's doing really well, and he's loving life. So, all right, I'm out of here. You take it over, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great, man.
Pipes is back with Trevor Valise. It is The Drive.
When selling your home with Ryan Dallas Real Estate, nothing is left to chance. This is Ryan Dallas with Ryan Dallas Real Estate. As the most trusted name in local real estate, my team goes above and beyond to get you results. It's what makes our team number one in homes sold and number one in client satisfaction year after year. We outsell the competition and outperform for you. Put your trust in the team that gets proven results, Ryan Dallas Real Estate. Visit us at RyanDallasRE.com.
Don't miss the opportunity to make your connection to autism. The CU Autism Network, along with the Champaign County Farm Bureau, is hosting a Spectrum of Community Connections Autism Conference and Winter Gala, featuring keynote speaker Dr. Temple Grandin.
Both events are on Thursday, December 9th at the City Center in Champaign, located at 505 South Chestnut Street in Champaign.
The conference offers both in-person and virtual options. There will be a choice of a morning or afternoon session. The gala will be a great way to meet and talk with Dr. Temple Grandin.
This conference supports the CU Autism Network's mission to support persons on the autism spectrum and bridges together our community for a better understanding of autism spectrum disorder.
There will also be amazing silent auction items to bid on. A special thanks to our sponsors, Green Street Realty and The Place for Children with Autism.
For more information and to purchase tickets, please visit our website at cuautismnetwork.org or on our Facebook page at Champaign Urbana Autism Network.
For details on how to get involved December 9th, visit our website at cuautismnetwork.org.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw is ready to help you combine home and auto and save right here in Champaign-Urbana. Call 352-1411 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm. Of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm. I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit BulldoggyBag.com.
That's BulldoggyBag.com.
This holiday season, check off your shopping list with Cardinals 5 and 10 game ticket packs. These multi-game packs are the best way to secure your seats to all of 2022's high demand games, including opening day, Yankees and Cubs weekends, legendary player tributes, and more. Give the gift of baseball to all the fans on your list. Ticket packs start at just $59. On sale now. Get yours at cardinals.com/holiday.
This holiday season, check off your shopping list with Cardinals Baseball. 2022 all-inclusive tickets start at just $59 and feature a full buffet, complimentary bar, plus a great view of the game. Choose from the Premium Legends Club, the UMB Champions Club, Proficient Red Jacket Club, National Car Rental Club, and more. Give the gift of date nights, the gift of family time, the gift of Cardinals Baseball. Get your single game all-inclusive tickets now at cardinals.com/holiday.
Hey, this is Brad Blumenschein again with the RE/MAX Collection, your luxury home specialist. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you to all of those customers and clients of mine who put their trust in me with their most important decision, the buying or selling of their home. I also would like to reach out to everyone and wish them happy holidays and Merry Christmas. And I hope you have a joyous and prosperous 2022. So if you've ever thought about buying or selling a home, give me a call or text me at 217-840-4380.
Welcome to the holiday edition of the Trucker Lives Matter radio show, brought to you by Gail Frerichs Trucking. Today, we're asking the kids of drivers to tell us what they want for Christmas. Ralphie's up first.
I want an official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle. But my dad says with what his company pays, I'll be lucky to get a pair of socks.
Oh, Ralphie, you'll put an eye out. But if your dad worked at GFT, he could afford that air rifle, new socks, and a bunch of other stuff. Tell him to call 765-793-7131. Lou Ann is up next.
Last year, my daddy didn't make it home for Christmas, and he's gone for a month at a time. So I just want him home.
Luann, all of GFT's drivers are home for Christmas to spend time with their loved ones, and they get paid for it. That's all the time we have for today on TLN. All you CDL drivers, call GFT at 765-793-7131 and tell them Dixie sent you.
Join Cunningham Children's Home for a special holiday event, Cunningham's Luminaries of Hope and Live Nativity. On December 11th and 18th, drive through our campus in Urbana and experience the magic as hundreds of luminaries light your way to the live nativity. 796 luminaries will be lit, representing each child, adult, and family we've served this year. And for $10, you can purchase a luminary in memory or honor of the special people in your life. More details about Luminaries of Hope can be found at CunninghamHome.org.
College basketball season is finally here. Gear up to support your Fighting Illini basketball team at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. From basketball jerseys to t-shirts and NIL merchandise, Game Day Spirit is the one-stop shop for all Illini basketball fans this season. Shop with them in-store in Champaign at the corner of Neal and Kirby, in Campustown at the corner of 6th and Green, or online at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Bulldog Disposal in Muhammad is excited to introduce a brand new service, the Doggy Bag. It's a 6-cubic yard dumpster bag that's perfect for all your household cleanouts, small remodels, or repairs. Have pieces of an old roof you need to get rid of? Use the Doggy Bag. Have a garage full of junk? Use the Doggy Bag. Bulldog will drop the bag off and let you keep it as long as you need to. Then, once you've got it filled, they'll come back and pick it up. Find out more online at bulldoggybag.com. Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Illini fans, Jets is Detroit-style pizza. Now build your perfect 3-topping large pizza for just $15.99. Freshly made dough pressed into steel pans inspired by the Motor City. Topped with premium mozzarella, Mama Jets secret sauce, fresh toppings, and baked to the thickest, crispiest, cheesy crunch. Jets is Detroit-style pizza. A large 3-topping pizza, just $15.99. Online code 3TOP. Jets pizza. Better because it has to be.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring surface is your first stop. Amazing selection, price, and style. On hardwoods, laminates, carpet, and tile. Low prices on high fashion. Step up the flooring that gets a wow reaction. See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring surface is your first stop. Flooring surfaces.
Flooring Surfaces now offers beautiful window fashions. Our interior design team will custom fit shade, shutters, and blinds to any size opening. Visit the showroom to see the latest fashions from Graber and Hunter Douglas, or request an in-home consultation. Whether it's floors or windows, Flooring Surfaces has you covered. See us today at 401 Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces. First stop.
Have you heard about Country Squire Cleaners Wash and Dry Club? Every week, Country Squire will come to your home in Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, or Muhammad and pick up your laundry. Then, within 3 days, they'll deliver all your clean and folded laundry back to your home. $25 a week for 25 pounds. Join the Wash and Dry Club and save time and money. Call 217-356-9422 for more information or visit them online, countrysquirecleaners.com. 2 Chronicles 7:14 states, If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Please pray for our nation and our leaders that we may seek the blessings and favor of the Lord. This message brought to you by the Blossom Basket Florist, located on Cunningham and Urbana and at Village at the Crossing in Champaign, the Blossom Basket Florist. Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Hey, it's The Drive. Derek Piper. Lon Tay is on his way to watch Andrew Tay. I'm not trying to rhyme like Dr. Seuss, I promise you. STM basketball tonight. Wish Andrew the best of luck. We're rolling on The Drive. Myself and Trevor Valise joining us on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone lines. We'll take you all the way through to the finish line. Trevor, how we doing, my friend?
How we doing, Derek? I'm here in my COVID lair making some FanDuel action for the evening and glad to talk to you.
Great to hear. Great to hear. Are you doing all right, man?
Yeah, I'm good. I still can't taste anything. That's my only detriment at the moment, which is an underrated detriment, to be sure. otherwise, it'd basically be a week off. So, you know, I'm not complaining about that facet of it, but I would be able to like to taste what I'm eating. But other than that, I'm doing fine and feeling better. So hopefully I'll regain that sense of taste soon, and I'll be back in shortly.
Absolutely, man. We'll hope to see you soon. And you got a chance to watch, obviously, Illinois and Iowa last night. 87-83 victory for the Illini to move to 2-0 in Big Ten play for the first time since the 2013-14 season, as Lon has always talked about. Finally getting a chance to get both of those early December games in league play. Just want your take on how important and satisfying that was from the Illinois standpoint to see Illinois go in there and get a victory.
That was an underrated, first of all, monkey off the back with the 2-0 December Big Ten starts. I had a flashback there at the end when Tomate threw that inbounds pass to Grandison in the front court, and I was going, oh, God, he's going to airmail him again. But that was a nice moment of growth there because he didn't. And that was, was it his freshman year, I think, when he airmailed that pass in the Maryland game and they went 0-2 in Big Ten play. So that was a slight little callback moment of growth there. But no, I mean, that was extremely impressive. I think it's more impressive now than I even would have thought it would have been had you just told me, you know, in the preseason that Illinois went in and beat Iowa by 4. My reaction might be they only beat them by 4, but Iowa was a pretty good team. And they have all the ingredients to annoy Illini fans for sure with two McCaffreys, two twin brothers, and Jordan Bohannon. I mean, that's a top five annoying starting five for Illini fans for sure. And they're pretty good. I mean, they do what they do best in that they go on these runs that, again, are like the perfect recipe for just anger inducement if you're a fan, because Iowa, you blink and Iowa's on like a 20-2 run and you're like, what the heck is going on? But I thought the way that they weathered that run at the end of the first half was maybe the most important stretch of the game. I mean, I know obviously down the stretch is the most important when Grandison hits that little like 9-foot jumper and Plummer hits the three, but to be able to weather, especially with Kofi being pretty much taken out of the game in the first half, to be able to weather that first half run and go into the locker room, I think they were up 3 at halftime, or at least within 3. That felt like a big 4.5, 5 minutes, even if it was just Trent hit a 3, Grandison hit a few 3s. Like, no matter how you were able to sort of break that seal, it was just nice to do that, because there's no worse feeling, at least in my opinion as a fan, when you're watching your team on the road suffer one of those runs, especially in a place like Iowa where they can go on those runs so quickly. It in that moment, it feels like you're never going to score again. And with that full court defense and everything, it felt like for 3 minutes that Illinois was going to get run out of the gym all of a sudden, even though that was never really necessarily on the table. So the fact that they were able to weather that first half storm, get Kofi going in the second half, I just thought that was a big growth moment for a team that 10 days ago, we basically sat here and watched them lose by 20 to a Cincinnati team that I know they played Arkansas okay, but they lost to Monmouth when they came home from that tournament. So I thought those were some big growth moments last night for sure, and a really impressive win.
I know it's easy to say in the moment, like, man, we've never seen this before, but the runs that Iowa's been going on, when you look at their game at Virginia, they were up 40-19 in the first half and then ultimately blow that lead and need a shot late by Joe Toussaint to win that game. And they're down 19 in the second half at Purdue, turn that into a two-point game. So and then to have a 21-2 run last night in the first half when Illinois came out firing early on, and it felt like you're wondering if that was going to be Cincinnati. Like, not to maybe say that Iowa is going to blow you out by 20, but that was going to be where a good start falls apart and you lose your composure. And to your point, to be able to, especially late in that first half, to weather the storm. And on that note, I want to ask you about Jacob Grandison, that calming presence that he certainly has, and a guy that doesn't play, you know, at least to the outside, you know, very emotional, just seems to be very, very steady regardless of the circumstance. But he stepped up and hit two big threes as you were bouncing back from what was a double-digit lead to then now chasing Iowa, and all the momentum was on their side. So how big do you think that he was in maybe turning that tide of a team that you didn't know? And I wondered myself of what would their composure be like when you knew that Iowa had the ability to go on a run, and being in a Big Ten environment, that was going to be tough to battle against.
Yeah, and the fear, I'll get to your question, but in the fear of that first half run turning into Cincinnati, and then again, I had that in the second half when they were up, I think, 62-47, yep. And then things started to sort of mini collapse again. I thought, okay, now I'm just watching Marquette. So it's like there were these moments where this game felt like it could have easily gone down the path of one of those earlier games, and again, to their credit, it didn't. But yeah, I mean, Grandison has been ridiculously good. I mean, he's shooting 48% from three, 95% from the free throw line. Like, he's not even starting right now. It doesn't matter, though. He is, I can't say enough good things about him. He's such a, and I'm sure you guys have hit on this, but he's such a calming presence in those moments that he's sort of the anti-Curbelo. And I don't even mean that as like a knock on Curbelo, because when you're playing, you know, number 11 Arizona or whatever it may be, number one Purdue in West Lafayette or something, you're going to need a guy like Curbelo who can sort of, the high risk, high reward might pay off if he can make some of those ridiculous plays that nobody else can make. But when it comes to everything else, I just love Grandison and Plummer, really. Plummer's a little shakier on the defensive end. Nobody talks about that, but that's fine because he'll hit like 9 threes a game, so whatever. But Grandison is just so steady, so consistent. I mean, these threes he's making, too, are not like, oh, no one paid attention to Grandison because we triple-teamed Kofi. Like, he's being guarded, and they're deep. And his shot isn't necessarily the type of shot that's like an easy, quick trigger. Like it's more Aaron Jordan than it is Steph Curry. And I don't even mean that as a knock to Aaron Jordan. It's just like the shot is a little not necessarily the smoothest shot you'd ever seen. But he's knocking down these, like, 27-foot threes, and it's just, I can't say enough good things about him. That little baseline jumper that he hit, I felt, was one of the bigger plays of the game. And then he just makes every single free throw, too. So, I mean, he's just been really, really good. And to think how far he's come from, you and I have talked about this. I mean, holy cross transfer. He doesn't really play the first, like, month of Big Ten play last year. And then suddenly, I would argue, he's, like, one of the more effective players so far in this early Big Ten stretch. So, I mean, he's just been, I can't say enough good things about him.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And even for a guy before Holy Cross was not on a high school team, not on his own high school team as a senior, goes to prep school, doesn't have an offer from a D1 school until the very last game after of his, then his fifth year, I guess you could say, is his prep year in high school. And Holy Cross was the first and only offer that he really got. And he jumped at the opportunity, and all of a sudden he's a very valuable piece for a Big Ten team, and obviously someone that you're putting a lot of trust and faith in. If you want to weigh in on the U of I Illini Link text line as Trevor and I talk Illini hoops, Big Ten hoops, all the way until the end of this show, we got about 10 minutes left, 217-359-2255. We will take your text and thoughts on the Illini, on Trev Palm, and anything that you want to talk about.
First of all, love Trev Palm. I really need to get that website trademarked and up and going, but it seemed to me like for the first few minutes of that second half, Kofi was missing shots that he normally doesn't miss, and I felt like it was maybe only due to the fact that he was so, not rattled, like I don't think he's the type of guy who gets rattled, but he was so consistently double-teamed and attacked and basically more or less assaulted by Iowa in the first half that it seemed like he finally had a few looks, and it was like, oh, like it was jarring to him that he was open, and obviously he finds his touch, and he has a really good second half. But the first few minutes, it was almost like he was so stunned by the fact that he wasn't getting double teamed for a second that he missed a few open looks.
Yeah, I agree. I know that Brad in the post game talked about earlier on in his career he would have been a lot more frustrated. I did see some of that. Like I saw him getting a little antsy early in that second half, and he understood that he was going to have a big impact on that game and able to pull out the victory when it's only a 3-point lead at halftime and he only had 3 points. He felt fortunate to be in that circumstance, but I think that he maybe rushed one or two of those shots, and as soon as he felt like he could get one on the rim, he wanted to do that, but ultimately was able to settle in, and I think he had a 6-0 run by himself, and all of a sudden momentum was turning for him. But, Lon and I were talking about it earlier, 17 points, 18 rebounds. He was flirting with a 20-20, which I know Oscar Tshiebwe has had two of those, but to be in that kind of a range and to look on the other side and not see Luka Garza and think in your mind like, hey, you guys are in big time trouble. That's just a cheat code type of advantage that very, very few teams ever have. Not even just this college basketball season.
Oh yeah, and I don't even know the guy's name, the North Dakota guy. I keep calling him Petras, but that's Spencer Petras, the Iowa quarterback. I don't know what his name is. It's something like that. But I mean, he was no match for Kofi, and that's why the first half was so frustrating, and I do give Fran credit. I sort of throw open my mouth as I say that a little bit. I mean, he had a good plan with the full court press and the constant double team as soon as Kofi got a touch, because it's not like if your reaction after the first half was Kofi didn't get enough touches, well, that's wrong. I mean, he got enough touches. It's just that he was so swarmed he couldn't really do anything with them.
Yep.
And obviously he didn't put up many shots. So I give Iowa credit for the way they went about attacking him, but it was nice to see, and again, sort of like a growth moment, right? Like, it was nice to see, I don't know if it was a specific halftime adjustment. I kind of questioned why Iowa stopped doing that in the second half, but maybe it's because guys like Plummer and Grandison, you have to respect them enough to where you can't just swarm Kofi every possession. But I give Iowa credit for the way they attacked him in the first half, but at a certain point, I mean, like I said, he's just so much better than any big Iowa had. I mean, it was just sort of like, this dude's such a monster, he has to take over at some point, which he obviously did.
Alfonso Plummer, we've been talking a lot about his three-point shot, and for very good reason, when he's just been an absolute pure sniper from the perimeter. But someone that is still showing some flashes of being able to go to the rim, and he was 5 of 5 from the free throw line, so drawing some contact there and being able to knock those down. I thought Coleman Hawkins had some stretches of making plays off the dribble where the offense, where you were chucking threes, and not that when you're wide open and you have guys that can shoot a high percentage, you're completely fine with taking those looks. But I thought it was important to have guys break it down and get to the rim, because Iowa was very intent on, we're going to swarm Kofi, we're going to try to recover to the three-point line as best as possible. But you really need that balance of getting into the lane and kicking it out. What'd you think of Plummer continuing to show just that, a little bit of an offensive versatility to take the ball off the dribble, and then Coleman doing that as well?
First of all, Plummer has one of the brightest green lights as a fan I could ever give. Like, I almost am to the point already where he could chuck up like 4 straight terrible bricks from 30 feet and I wouldn't care. I'd ask him to do it a fifth time. Like, he's just so, he can get so hot and he can knock down shots even though he hasn't before, that like, as a fan, I am at an all-time low level of frustrated of like, why are you taking that shot? It's like the antithesis of Georgie bricking a 3, where it's like, I never want to see that shot again. This is like, if he shoots 10 times from deep in the first half, I don't care if he makes 1 or 9, I'm going to ask him to do it again in the second half, because he's just that good from deep. But to your point, I mean, he has more to his game than I think we were giving him credit for. Not that, I mean, we understand he's a 3-point shooter, obviously, but I mean, that was a huge and one that he had late in the second half. It felt like I was watching Andres Feliz for a second instead of Alfonso Plummer. Right. And the fact that, and he showed that against Notre Dame and Rutgers, too, a few takes to the rim. And he has strong finishes to him, too. It's not like he just decides, I'm going to try and drive it to the to the rim just for the sake of trying to make the defense respect me doing something other than taking a three-point shot. So the fact that that's a facet to his game, too, I mean, again, I just keep going back to the fact that, like, 14 days ago, I was watching a Marquette game where, like, he basically hit it off, like, the back end of the backboard, and I'm going, like, what is happening here? Like, what is this? And now he's what, 20-plus points in five straight games, and he's hit over – I mean, he's shooting, like, again, Mike Grandison is shooting 48% from three. I think he's shooting, like, 44% with a much higher sample size there, too. So, I mean, he's just been ridiculous. Again, sometimes he goes under screens or gets lost on switches, and it's a little frustrating, but, I mean, he immediately makes up for it on the offensive end. So he's been really good. Coleman also has, you know, moments where – and he's only a sophomore, but Brad talks him up so much that I feel like I can grade him more harshly because he has the potential to be really good. You know, he has moments, too, like that backcourt violation was obviously really frustrating, and he has moments where, you know, it's a dumb foul or it's a reach-in foul where I think, man, if you're going to foul him, you know, foul him, you know, knock him down. Don't just sort of swipe your hand in there. But, again, to your point, I think he was also important in breaking that Kofi swarm defense where you have to respect someone else, and he's able to sort of break that seal, I guess, of pass around the perimeter and then throw it into Kofi, who either throws it back out or loses it. And I think both he and Plummer having that ability in their game, especially with Curbelo out too, sort of keeps the defense on their toes in a way where they can't just key in on Kofi or can't just key in on running guys off the three-point line.
We got a text from the 615 asking about where did the attention come in terms of Illinois noticing Jacob Grandison when he was at Holy Cross, asked if he was an Antigua guy, and he was. And it's interesting because this staff saw him at the time when Illinois was running the spread, and Grandison playing for Bill Carmody at Holy Cross, playing in the Princeton offense, a lot of cuts, back doors, saw his passing ability. So they were actually looking at him as someone that would, you know, be a cutter, a guy that could play in the pinch post potentially. And all of a sudden you're obviously completely abandoning that offense, but still someone that has made quite an impact. And man, just to think about making that jump, because it's really hard and really unpredictable. I mean, you see the Mike Smiths of the world be able to do it, but then Michigan's going through it, where Devontae Jones going from Coastal Carolina up to the Big Ten is looking so far like a major, major leap, and it's not clicking for him. But for Grandison to do that has been a huge part of what Illinois has done here of late.
Yeah, we said before, like, for every one Mike Smith, it feels like there's seven Mark Allstorks. And that's nothing personal. You know, it's just, you know, a guy who scores 21 points in a lower conference and then comes into your system and maybe it doesn't work. And again, I think the interesting part about Jake's story is that it didn't work at first, or at least he wasn't given the opportunity to make it work. And it's just been such a sudden growth, almost to the point where it's like sort of how DeMonte didn't score for a month and then, like, was the nation's best three-point shooter. Now it's to the point where with Grandison, where it's like, I don't even know how this happened. Like, it wasn't like he suddenly had an opportunity where one guy was hurt and he plays 40 minutes and he scores 25 points and he announces to the world that he's great. Like, he had minutes early that weren't good that led to him not having minutes in the early portion of Big Ten play last season. And it's a credit to him and the staff, because obviously they developed him to the point where he went from, to your point, maybe not a seamless fit in this new type of offense that they're running, but now he clearly is and is one of the steadier players in it. So, I mean, that's a huge credit to him and the staff. And I thought, I know he wasn't on Keegan Murray, but I thought Coleman and the team in general did a good job on Murray last night. I don't know how many points he had. He had an okay game, but I would argue that on paper it looked better than, at least to my eyes, it looked.
Yeah, really until that last three and a half minutes where I know he had a nice spurt there when Iowa was making it close and still that late rally. I think he had 9 points, you know, with like 4 minutes to go, and ultimately needed to take 19 shots to score his 19 points, and you keep him below, obviously, a season average of 25. I thought DeMonte and Coleman, and really in particular DeMonte, did a really good job defending him. Last one, Trevor. We'll have all week to break this thing down until Illinois basketball plays again in a marquee matchup this Saturday against number 11 Arizona. A chance, in my opinion, unless Arizona falls off a cliff here as we go the rest of the way, and based on what they've shown so far, that's not going to happen. a chance for back-to-back quad one wins when you think about on the road at Iowa. You now won five in a row overall. To then play Arizona at your place and KenPom, I'm curious what TrevPom thinks. KenPom has Illinois as a three-point favorite going to that game. I don't know about that, but what do you think about just the opportunity this Saturday, maybe what it could potentially erase in terms of the hiccups against Marquette and Cincinnati?
Yeah, Arizona sort of came out of nowhere because they've got the Gonzaga assistant right now as their head coach, and it was sort of like, well, they're refueling or rebuilding from the Sean Miller era. I'm not really sure. Then they come out and smack Michigan, who, you know, might not be obviously as great early on as we all thought. But, I mean, they're legit good. They're undefeated. It's somewhat interesting. I'm not putting them on upset alert, but they're playing 9-0 Wyoming, I believe, either tonight or tomorrow night. And Wyoming already has more true road wins than anyone in the country. So they're not a total fluke 9-0. So I'll be curious to see. Probably can't see because the Pac-12 network is stupid, but I'll be curious to see Wyoming and Arizona just to see if that gives them any kind of a test. It probably won't before this Saturday. You feel better, obviously, being at home. If this game were even on a neutral site, I'd probably be worried. But I don't know. It's hard to say that this team has already clicked all the way back to where – like, I haven't fallen fully back up to where I was prior to the Cincinnati and Marquette debacle, but – I give this team credit because I'm pretty close to getting there already after just a few games with Notre Dame, Rutgers, and Iowa. So I want to say that my gut instinct is with KenPom and that I think Illinois pulls it out late. But Arizona's got legit length and size and athleticism, so this is going to be a really good game, and it is absolutely killing me that my quarantine does not end until 2 days after that because I would really, really want to be in that building on Saturday because I think it's going to be electric.
We will have the rest of the week to break that one down. Going to be a great matchup between Illinois and the Arizona Wildcats. We'll talk about that throughout the rest of this week. Trevor, thanks for hopping on and talking to you. It was great talking some hoop. And, again, hope you're feeling better as this week progresses. And hope to see you soon, my man.
The night set. Ron has 99 career triple-doubles. He's on national TV, TNT against the Celtics. LeBron's going to get his 100th triple-double. Plus 2,700 right now on FanDuel. There you go.
You were reading my mind because I was going to ask you what your research has produced on the betting side. We're just that in sync as far as you know what we're thinking ultimately as this show usually winds down each and every day. Appreciate the nugget. Appreciate everyone for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow on The Drive. Everybody have a great night. Again, it is The Drive.
I'm Robin Lindemeyer. I'm the director for Women's and Children's Services for OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center, a baby-friendly designated hospital. With that, we provide support for women who are breastfeeding while they're in the hospital, but also once they are discharged, we continue to provide that support for them. We help them meet their breastfeeding goals, whatever those may be. Also, as part of our care, our nursing staff is phenomenal. We have 24/7 neonatology coverage for our babies, so they take care of our well babies, plus any baby who might need a higher level of care. We offer the opportunity for our families to stay at the hospital so that they have access to their babies whenever they want to. With our new clinic, we are able to provide care seamlessly, which can be prenatal care through gynecological care. A lot of work has gone into establishing that practice in a short amount of time, but I think we've done a phenomenal job of getting that up and going. We are still actively recruiting more providers and midwives to be able to provide you the best care for you and your family. If you need any more details on anything, osfhealthcare.org.
Curtis Orchard with Randy and Debbie Graham.
We've been very blessed to be part of this community and to build a business here that's been so well received.
With some great gifts like honey.
That is a wonderful gift. A lot of people
it
give
is.
That gift.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the pies go, apple cherry, peach pecan, pumpkin, and blackberry cobbler. You've got it covered at Curtis Orchard.
We do, and we're staying yes, open we a little longer this year through December 23rd so that we can get those Christmas pie orders taken care of.